I said, I don't know how to explain Friday and Saturday other than there was a depth and a flow that happened. I don't know that I'll be able to look back and ever say the particular breakthrough. Now, maybe over time when we see what happens as the church gets a hold of it. But to look at what specifically happened that night and to be able to tell somebody exactly what happened, it's a little hard, a little difficult. What I can say is I think there was a shift. And there was a depth and an understanding that will have a long-term effect on us for the change that happened for those of us that were able to make it and for us to keep the change. Look at your neighbor and say, keep the change. We don't say that much anymore because we're paying with debit cards. But we used to hear that a lot, keep the change. What I'm giving back to you, what I'm giving to you, keep it. Keep the change. We'd say that as a term of endearment and as a tip. I want to keep the change that God has given me. And I want to make sure that whatever I did to get there, that I have to really consider continuing doing a lot of those things. And that's hard to keep the pace that we had the last month. I get it. It's hard to keep that pace. But I also don't want to exhale and go, glad all those disciplines are over. Now I can go back to what I was doing before. Because I'm afraid I'll lose some of the traction that I've gained. And so although I'll go back to some normal life, there's going to be a lot of things that I started doing and stopped doing that I want to continue because I want to keep the change. I don't want to go back. Genesis 32, starting at verse 23. And after he had sent them, talking about his family. This is Jacob talking about his family. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone. I'm going to tell you some of the deepest places you'll ever go with the Lord will be by yourself. And a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" Jacob answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." I want to preach to you today that it is worth the fight. There are some places that you want to go in the Lord that it's going to require that you wrestle. It's going to require a struggle. You're not just going to just stroll into deep places with God. You're not just going to just kind of cruise into your calling and that all God has in store for you. You're just not going to just wander into it aimlessly. You're not going to end up into deep places in God on accident. Let's lift our voices today. God, I pray that you touch our hearts and our minds today. Lord, that you help us, God, to learn how to wrestle, God, that we learn how to struggle, that we learn, God, how got to sacrifice, God, to discern your will and to go places in you that only you can take us. Lord, so that we will know your will, that we will know your face, Lord, that we will know your voice. God, bless us today. God, we need your blessing. We need your favor today. And God, we are passionate about it. Help us today, we pray in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Look at your neighbor before you're seated and say, it's worth the fight. You may be seated. Jacob wrestled with both an angel and God in this passage. Hard to determine by this passage whether it was actually God himself in man form or an angel of the Lord, but we do know it was a being that represented God. As interpretations vary in different biblical texts, offer different perspectives, the entity is referred to as a man. In the book of Genesis, but Jacob identifies the being as God, stating that he saw God face to face. And that the being gave him the name Israel, meaning he who contends with God. However, the book of Hosea refers to the being as an angel. Many scholars interpret this as a theophany, which is a visible manifestation of God. Or an angel acting as a messenger or representative of God. In Genesis, the text refers to the entity as a man with whom Jacob wrestled. That after the struggle, the man bestows the name Israel upon Jacob, declaring that he has struggled with God and with men and have overcome. Jacob in turn names the place Peniel, saying, I have seen God face to face, and yet my life was spared. The book of Hosea clarifies the incident, stating that Jacob struggled with an angel and prevailed and wept, and he sought favor for him. So what interpretation do we get from these two views? Well, many view the figure as a divine being or a manifestation of God, known as a theophany. This allows for the two descriptions to be reconciled, as an angel is often seen as a divine emissary or a physical manifestation of God. So I will state this. Although we may not know or ever know the exact identity of the man that Jacob wrestled, we do know this. Jacob knew he had a hold of someone that was either God or a close representative of God. All we know was that he passionately sought the blessing of God. The second thing we take note of is Jacob was desperate to be blessed by God. The third thing we see in this passage is that he was willing to struggle, sacrifice, and not let go until he received it. Look at your neighbor and say, don't let go. This was made obvious to me a few years ago. I told you the story that I had been at an altar for a few minutes and got away after asking the Lord some questions and wanting to be in his presence and wanting to go places with God. And after 7 or 8 minutes, got up to walk away from an altar, and the God almost smirked. I could almost feel the presence of God smirking and told me this. Here's what I heard. You waited longer last weekend to ride the beast at King's Island than to get an answer from me. I was in that line. Fortunately, I was bigger than the little cartoon character that you had. I hated those things, especially when I wasn't quite tall enough to be bigger than that little person, that you had to be taller than that person to get on the ride. That wasn't the case. So, but there were also other signs that said, your wait here is 15 minutes. Your wait here is a half hour. Your wait here. There was that weekend that I waited over an hour to ride a ride that would last a few seconds over 3 minutes. And I waited an hour to ride a roller coaster, and God was reminding me that in his presence I waited about 7 minutes to get an answer from God Almighty. Needless to say, it wasn't long before I turned back and went back to that altar. I don't know that I stayed there an hour, but I definitely gave it more than 7 minutes because I didn't want to let go. I needed something from God, and he was reminding me that sometimes it's going to require something out of us to go somewhere with him, to get what we want from him. Sometimes it requires a little hanging on, a little effort, a little strategy. We do it for every place else in our life. How many of you know that marriage can be a struggle? How many of you know raising kids can be a struggle? How many of you know that your career is a struggle? How many of you know education, going through the educational process is a struggle? How many of you know if you're going to be on the starting team of any field of play, whatever sport, whatever you're going to do, it's going to require struggle? Why would we think somehow that the kingdom of God would be any different from any area of our life, that anything of value is going to require us to spend ourselves and to have a little bit of struggle? We also understood that Jacob figured out that when you are blessed, you will walk differently. Verse 25 says that this being touched the hollow of his thigh. And we saw that Jacob's hip would never be the same again. He would never walk the way he used to walk. I would contend that we can see out of that that if you ever get to a place where God, where you go and you get close enough to God that he's going to change your life, you can't go back to where you came from. You can't walk the same way you used to walk. You can't enjoy some of the things you used to enjoy. In fact, you will start to enjoy things that you never thought you would enjoy before. You will start to walk differently. You will have a different appetite. You will have different things in your life. You will do things that you didn't do before, but you will also not do some things you thought you would never get up. Why? Because you will walk differently. And the second part of that is now he has a new identity. Everyone say new identity. And so he gave him a new name, and so Jacob would now see himself differently as Israel, and he would have a new identity, and now others would also call him by a new name. So not only when he got into the presence of the Lord did he see himself differently. You know what happened this last couple of days? You know what's happened this last month? Is some of us have begun to see ourselves differently. Some of us will walk into a new anointing and walk now with a new anointing and a new place and a new authority that you're now walking in. Why? Because you saw God face to face. You had an event with God. You had an encounter with God where now you see him differently, and now you also see yourself differently. You're not going back to where you were before. You're not going back to those old places. And consequently, others will also see you differently. Why? Because now when you walk into the place, you're going to bring peace to situations that used to be drama. You're going to pray with the new authority. You're going to change situations. You're going to pray for people, and their lives will be changed just from your presence. Why? Because of you? No, because you have seen God face to face, and you have struggled and you have wrestled to get into a place where you can be the person that makes a difference. Is there anybody here that wants to make a difference while you're here? I don't want to leave this planet and have there be no void at all. I don't want to leave this world and have everybody just nobody wondering, nobody feeling, nobody at all, not my family, not my city, just nobody. Not, I didn't even realize he was gone. Dad with us, dad not with us, makes no difference. My husband with me or not with me just makes no difference. Pastor Pelham, my neighbor, Bill, whatever it is, I want there to be an impact. I want to leave an impact. I want to make a difference, and so I want to make a difference in the spirit world as well. I want to make sure that I can get into situations and my prayers make a difference. My prayers matter. My touch with God has influence in the realm of the spirit. The demon powers in the Bible looks at the seven sons of Sceva, the sons of the high priest. No doubt they've been paying attention. They've been watching how Paul does things. I think he holds his mouth like this when he casts out devils. I think he normally points his finger at the persons. And so I've been studying this guy. So I know how he does it. Watch this. Yeah, they got a show they weren't ready for. As those demons jumped on those men and stripped them and sent them running through the city. And here's what they said. When he tried to cast those devils out, the devils said, Paul we know, Jesus we know, who are you? They had about a half a second to say, uh-oh, before they got stripped. Look at your neighbor, say, who are you? Now, before you say that with too much gusto, put your hand on your own chest and say, who am I? Because you got to answer that question. Because you can't go into those situations unless you know who you are and you know who he is and you know who he has called you and you know if he's called you by name and you know if he's given you a new identity and you know that you've been in his presence and you know you have the power that we say we have and the book says we have. We have to know we have it, but we can't have that unless we're in his presence face to face. Several weeks ago, I went right around the corner after preaching a message, and I was concerned. I was frustrated. It seemed like we were just kind of going through the motions, and I was frustrated. I just felt like God wants to do so much more in this church and so much more in this city, and it just seemed like we were kind of going through the motions. It seemed like we weren't really responding. It seems like we're just kind of waiting for service to be done. And so I went around the corner, just right around the corner there, and I just put my head down on that Leslie, that little box over there that's connected to the organ, and I just put my head down and just started praying. I said, God, I don't know what else to do. God, I don't know what else to say. I don't know how I can do anymore. And I'm just over there praying. And that wasn't long, my daughter Olivia came over, and she came over by me, and I put my arm around her and I started praying. I was frustrated. God, is it going to require somebody else? Is it me? Am I the problem? Does there need to be somebody else that can make this happen? God, what is it? And I'm begging God. I want to see this church. I want to see the glory that God has intended for this city. I want to see this place be a place where people can come in and be healed on the inside, whether it's physical, spiritual, their families healed, their finances, their spirit, have their lives transformed, have people turn away from whatever's got them captive in their life. I want this to be a spiritual hospital. So I'm over there praying, God, I know what you want this to be. My daughter Olivia came over, I put my arm around her, and I'm just crying and I'm praying. I felt like I didn't have any answers, so I asked my daughter, baby, you feel anything? What do you think? She said, Dad, all I know is this. There's not going to be any firefall if there's not a sacrifice on the altar. Why did we have this rather stringent series of circumstances in the whole month of October? Because I felt like God wanted us to move past minor inconvenience and move into sacrifice. You see, when we get to the place where we feel like just attending service is sacrifice, you're blessed to be able to come to church. If you don't know how blessed you are, you need to ask the Lord about that. To be able to come to a place with other believers and feel the presence of God and have a worship team that is here in an hour and a half before you, practicing and rehearsing to try to lead us into the presence of God, and a team that comes with this running the soundboard and getting words up for us to be able to sing, and ushers getting here early to make sure the temperature's right, and cleaning crews that are here to make sure the church is clean for you and it's stocked and things in the restrooms and everything's laid out for you, and ushers out here. You are blessed to be able to come to church. That's not sacrifice. That's not sacrifice. Pastor, I'm here every Sunday. You're here for an hour and a half once a week, and that's sacrifice? That's blessing. She said, Dad, there's not going to be any firefall without sacrifice. So this month of October, we're in November now, but this month, I'm thankful for all of you that showed up and did whatever level that you did. I'm so grateful and thankful. And here's what I know. People are asking, well, what do you think is going to happen? I said, I don't know, but I know what the Lord has told me. I know what will happen is to whatever level somebody sacrifices and shows up, God's going to meet them at that level. If for whatever reason, it doesn't matter, because people were asking, well, how many think he's going to show up? I said, I'll tell you how many he's going to show up. I have no idea. And oddly enough, it didn't concern me. Because I've had to now move past trying to cheerlead and lead those that are hungry. And so I knew that if somebody would just do this much of the discipline that we laid out with the media fast, if somebody just went this far, thank God, he's going to meet them right there. I was confident that wherever somebody was willing to go, God was going to meet them there. If somebody was going to go this far, then I have good news for you. I knew the Lord was going to show up there and meet you there and show up and make you so glad you took that step. But I will tell you that if somebody did the whole thing and did whatever you could and did everything that we laid out and you came and you pressed through, I was convinced that no matter how hungry you were, if you came and did all that, and I'm not talking about earning anything, I'm talking about expressing hunger, I'm talking about getting a hold of God, I'm talking about wrestling with God, I'm talking about getting into a place of sacrifice where I've got to get my flesh out of the way, I've got to rearrange my schedule, I got to do some things so I can get into the presence of God, because I want to change. I want my life to be changed. I want it to be changed so much that I can help change other people's life. God, I'm going to lock myself in. If somebody came that far, I was convinced God was going to meet him there. And he did. And he did. What is this all about? If it doesn't earn the presence of God, it doesn't earn the presence of God. As something happened today at the Circleville Church. I've got a granddaughter. And she's a little stoic. She's not an overly happy baby. She just kind of look at you. She'll kind of judge you. Just kind of look at you. And if you get a grin out of her, you can just celebrate right there. You've got her to grin, and she's a little stoic. But she'll grin at you. I'm not my mother. My mother is the type of person, right or wrong, that she would go to my kids, she'd say, get over here and give me a hug. Get over here. You come give me a hug. And they would. Sometimes they'd look at me. They loved my mom, but she just, I don't know why she didn't just say, I love you, I want to hug you. But she said, get over here and give me a hug. They'd hug my dad all the time. He never asked for anything. He was just so sweet. Southern gentleman, they just want to crawl up on his lap and hug him and play checkers with him. But my mom, she would just, come on, you get yourself over here. You come over here. My granddaughter today, I kind of ease into my relationship with her. She knows I love her, but I let her body language dictate where we go. And so today she was in my office during praise and worship practice, and so she's in there with Olivia, and she's in there on my floor, and she gave me a couple grins. I was like, that's a score, and so some things are going on. Well, we go to leave, and she comes follow me out the door. I was going to leave her in there with Livy. Livy's the favorite, just so you know, if you're wondering. Livy's the favorite. Livy's got that gift. Dogs, kids, the adults, Livy just is that. She's got the gift. She's probably been face-to-face with God. She probably has wrestled with God as a child, and now she's got some special anointing or something, but she's that person. And so She's normally, if she won't give up Livy for anybody other than Natalie and Tristan. Well, she comes to the door. This is the first time she's ever done this. And that's exactly what I did on the inside. And that's exactly what Jesus is waiting on from some of you. That moment where you're just saying, I need you and I want you. I want to be with you. It was a moment I picked her up, and then she just kind of leaned into me. My wife's got this biggest shock on her face right now. So you know what I'm talking about. You know I'm telling the truth. Has she ever done it to you? I was hoping she was going to say no. I was hoping I was the first. So she leaned into me. So I took her out, and then she saw her mom and dad. So I knew she saw them, and they saw her. So I set her down, and she immediately started to cry. Look, I really don't care what happens in the service today. I already have my moment today. No, actually, I do care what happens today. But she just started crying. And so, again, this is taking it to another level. So what does she want? She wants me. Yeah, that's what I did, Lana. Oh. And I picked her up. And that moment was magic for me. Why? Because she wanted to be with me so much so that, first of all, she goes like this, and I pick her up. And when she's with me, then I go to walk away. Then she starts to cry. Why? Because she wants to be with me. Do you know what that feels like? Do you know what that feels like? I think that's nothing more than what God is talking about in this passage. It's not about earning anything. It's about He wants to know that we crave Him and that we want to be with Him. And if we get out of His presence very long, we're not happy about it. God, No, don't go away. Do not pass me by. God, I need you. Oh, come on, let's worship Him. Come on. Oh, God, I need you. I need you. And so that's what was wrong several weeks ago. It was probably 2 months ago as I was right here, and I felt like I was being my mom. I felt like, do I have to tell these people? Do I have to tell the church? Come on, you need to get up. You need to lift your voice. You need to praise Him. Come on, you need to come over here and hug me. You need to come over and hug Jesus. You need to come over and be nice to Him. Come on, you need to come. He cares about you. You need to care about Him. I felt like I was in a place where I was at the end of my rope, that I felt like that's where I was, that I had to tell you how to love Him. But you know what? If you really love somebody, you don't have to tell them. You don't have to cheerlead them. There's just something that happens. Nobody had to tell that little child that can't hardly talk yet. Nobody had to tell her how to express herself when she wanted to be with somebody. There was no class on how to keep Grandpa happy. No class on how to show him that you love him. She doesn't know that. All that she knows is when it's in her to be by herself, she's going to let you know. You're going to pick her up and she's going to arch that back. Okay, got it. But then when she wants to be with you, she knows how to express that too. And He knows in our heart. He knows when we want to wrestle with Him. He knows when we're hanging on and say, do not go until you bless me. Do not go until you give me a promise. Do not go until I'm changed. And so we met this month, this last October, and we fasted. We fasted media. We fasted earlier this last week, Monday through Wednesday. We prayed on our homes Monday together, and we prayed on Zoom Tuesday and Wednesday. And thank you, Bobby Joe. I know she's in the nursery, but I'm so thankful that she was willing to help take the lead on some of this stuff. And I couldn't be two places at once. And so her at this church and Brother Cox at the other church. And so I'm so grateful for us leading it through some of that. And we prayed at the church on Thursday and then Friday. Friday came and we did something I've never done before, and I've never been a part of anything like that before, where we just prayed round the clock for almost 24 hours. We began at noon, and we had seven different sessions or so that myself or Bobby Joe or Brother Cox would feel led to talk about something. I came almost with no notes, just a couple of thoughts I jotted down before I got here, but I had no agenda, nothing specific. I just wanted to get into the current and not come with what I think God wants us to talk about and have this all structured and laid out, but I just knew that I needed changed. I knew that I wanted to be in sync with him. I knew that I didn't want to twist his arm and say, God, I need you to do this. I need you to bring revival. I need you to do this. I need you to touch our hearts. I need you. 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 I just knew that I would be better off just saying, God, help me to know where you are and to jump into the current and flow with you. Now, it's easy to say that until you're put in a position to have to lead a bunch of people And then say, God, I'm just going to trust you. I'm not coming with any notes. And so as I came and as we began to pray, I would start jotting things down. In fact, this message right here is the last session that I never got to. This is the last thing that I was going to say before we left. What I'm preaching here today is about wrestling with God. Actually, it's one of two that I never got to. 22 hours of prayer and consecration, processing, exploring, and plowing deep. Bringing ourselves as living sacrifices this weekend and wrestling with God, wrestling with ourselves. Knowing that we wanted the blessing of God and expecting to walk away differently and walk into a new identity with God, a new identity with others, and a new identity with ourselves. Jacob struggled. He wrestled with God. So what blessing was he looking for? I would say if we ask most of Americans, that if we ask about, you know, what do you want God to bless you with? And you want to be blessed? Yes. Well, what do you want? Quickly, what do you want God to bless you with? And I would suspect that if I were to ask more people, they would talk about financial blessing, and they would talk about maybe some popularity or some fame. They would talk about maybe, you know, having life not be so hard, and maybe being a little bit more comfortable and a little bit more of a life of leisure and not having to work so hard and not have so much pain and struggle. I suppose that we would see those things on the top of our list of things that we want to be blessed. But we go back to this passage and we look at what was Jacob. When Jacob says, don't leave me unless you bless me. Don't depart from me unless you bless me. What was the blessing that Jacob was looking for? Well, he was seeking several blessings, primarily the confirmation of the patriarchal covenant process God made for his forefathers. Specifically, he wanted divine favor. Anybody want the favor of God? You see, that takes you through tough circumstances. Whether the circumstances change or not, I just need to know that while I'm going through it, I got his favor. God, am I doing the right thing? Are you pleased with me? You see, the problem with all of us, this isn't Americans, this is humanity. The disciples are in the boat and the storm comes and Jesus is in the boat. He's with them. The storm starts kicking up, and the Bible is very descriptive. In fact, it's so descriptive that it even says that he's in the boat with his head on a pillow. Comfy, my mom would say. I'm in a storm, and he's being comfortable. And here's the question. Here's the question for all of us in our storms, in our trials, in our troubles. Here's the question. They didn't ask, can you deliver us from this? They say this, and it's always our question when we're going through difficulty, when we're going through a challenge, when things are tough. They look at him and say, carest not that we perish? Here's the big question every time we go through life. Do you care? Because if you care, get me out of this struggle. Keep me from this pain. If you care, why are you letting me go through this? Same reason you make your kids do their homework. Same reason you give them chores. It's just Jesus does things on a little bigger level because we're talking about eternity. And so he allows us to go through struggle and trial, challenges, disappointment, pain, to work in us something of a bigger eternal significance so that we're not spiritually spoiled. Everything's good. Everything's perfect. Every church service is awesome. We don't have to try to wrestle with God. We just walk into the presence of God. He just helps us go through life. I start serving God and everything's perfect. I tell you how we would act if we were that spoiled. We wouldn't give anything back to him. 9/11 happens and the schoolyards around Pickaway County and all over America, the same schools that took prayer out of schools are saying on their billboards, on their marquees in front of their schools, pray for our nation. Congress and Senate getting together at the Capitol building on the front steps. What are they saying? God bless America. The same ones that are trying to pass laws taking in God we trust off the dollar bill, those same ones are now singing God bless America. We prove even as a country that as soon as planes fly into buildings that we're saying, God help us, God we need you, pray for our country, pray for our nation, pray for our schools when things are in trouble. But when things get comfy and when things get cozy and we're being blessed, we turn our back on God. And we squander the very blessings that he gives us. And so we see in Jacob here the power of the struggle. So specifically, Jacob wanted divine favor and protection and the assurance that his lineage would be fruitful and secure. He was also seeking reconciliation with his brother Esau, which required a transformation and a blessing to ensure his safety. He was in trouble. Life was not good. Well, he said that so that he wanted blessed. He wanted to be rich. He was already rich at this point. He had already went, got Laban's daughters, had two wives. If you read the story, he already sent all of his livestock ahead of him, hoping to satisfy Esau so Esau wouldn't kill him. He's already got the wealth. He's already got the stuff. He's already got this. He's not wrestling that God would somehow bring him out of his poverty. He's already out of his poverty. He's already out of his mess. The only thing he wants is a long-term blessing of God. He wants his children and his grandbabies to be saved. He wants his great-great-grandchildren saved. He wants them to have a connection with God. He wants his family, his relatives. He wants to be known as a man of God. He wants a reputation of being a man that is connected with God. He wants to be reconciled to his family, to his brother. But there's a big difference between wrestling with God and fighting against God. Trust me, I've done both. Fighting against God, you're running, you're complaining, you're struggling against his will, and you're fighting against God. Wrestling with God, you're desperate for his presence. You're begging him not to pass you by. You're craving his presence and his blessing. You're desperately seeking his will in your life. And you understand how much greater your life is if you're in alignment with him. And you're living in his blessing and in his will. So how do you wrestle with God? Very few of us will ever have the opportunity, and I've never had the opportunity, very few of us will ever have the opportunity to wrestle with a human physical manifestation of the Lord in person. But I have certainly wrestled with God. Just not in the exact same way that Jacob did. The Bible gives us some indication of the value and importance of struggle, inconvenience, and sacrifice in our walk with God. As we read today, Jacob wrestled with God. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I've finished my course. Paul says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. He understands that this isn't a fight against flesh. But he didn't say there's no fight at all. He said, we don't fight against flesh and blood. And then he goes on ahead and lists these principalities and powers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. He said, we will fight against those things. Everybody say fight. Paul says we die daily. That's sacrifice. We're instructed to take up our cross and follow him. The rich young ruler was a great Christian, a great follower. I mean, a Christian back in that day. He was a great follower of God and said, all these things that I've done, I've given to the poor, I've followed all your commandments, I've done all these things, and Jesus says, rightly so. And so he would have been a trustee in anybody's church. He was a really good man of God and seemed like he had it all going for him. He was rich, he was young, he might have been good looking, but he had all these attributes and all these things, and all these things that he'd done, Christ even admitted, yes, you have done all those things and you have been faithful. And right about the guy starts feeling like, I've got it pretty good, he says, now go sell all that you have and give to the poor and come follow me. Now it's time to wrestle. Now it's time to see if you're willing to fight and wrestle and sacrifice for what the Lord has in store for you. Jesus himself had to wrestle. Robed himself in flesh. The Lord robed himself in flesh. And he gave the ultimate sacrifice to be in the will of God. God, if it be my... if it be my will. If it be my will, let this cup pass from me. He's telling us right there, it wasn't his fleshly will to die on that cross. He knew he wasn't going to be spared of the pain or the humiliation. Everybody say, nevertheless. There was somebody here at the church that been working hard, and because of their job situation, hasn't had many vacations. This got scheduled, this whole prayer and fasting thing got scheduled right on top of a transition time. And they've worked hard, and they've been faithful. They've been faithful to the church. They've been faithful to God. They love God, serve God. They're faithful in any position I give them. They had a window of time. And the lover of people in me almost picked up the phone and said, hey, I know you guys are faithful. You don't have to come Friday night so that you can add a day to your very short vacation. You haven't had a vacation in almost a year. Just take one extra day. I know your heart. I understand. But without a sacrifice, the fire won't fall. So I wrestled with calling that sweet couple and saying, go on ahead and go a day early on your vacation. Get the rest you deserve. But then I started thinking about the blessing of the Lord. And what if, because of that one-time event, see, that was a one-time event that's still being fulfilled today. Israel, the nation, the blessing. Is it possible that I would have told that sweet couple, hey, I get it, go on ahead and go early. But they came here instead. What could they have been cheated out of that I couldn't see with my natural eyes? They would have had an extra day of vacation, but what could I have cheated them out of in eternity, or their family, or the blessing of the Lord, or a prophetic word that came to them, or any number of things that God would say, look, they would have still been saved, folks. They would have still been blessed. They still would have had a blessed life. But did God have something in store for them when they went that extra level and cried out and wrestled with God and said, I'm not going to let you go, God. I'm going to forego one extra day of vacation because I need something from you. I need something in my future. I need to know, God, you need to know that I would rather be with you on vacation. Should we take vacations? Yes, take vacations. Enjoy vacations. I take vacations. Do it. But there's going to be some times where God is going to ask something of you and it's going to seem unreasonable. It's going to seem like, is this such a big deal? Maybe not. But when that little child today reached up to me and then started to whimper when I set her down, I'm telling you, there's something happens when we tell God, God, this is you, being with you is more important than this. And it doesn't mean that you're lost. It doesn't mean you don't love God. But when we take that extra step and love Him, God is going to honor it and God is going to do great things. We may never have the opportunity to have a physical wrestling match with Him. However, if you want His will in your life, if you want the blessing of knowing what He has for you to do, you will typically find that out alone. It'll be a struggle, and it will cost you something. And if you have, in fact, received a true touch from the Lord, you will never be the same again. And you can't help but walk differently and have a new identity. I want the musicians to come. I had friends of mine that knew when they were kids, Rob, he said he used to preach to his grandma. Tell her she was a sinner. Sinner, Grandma, you're going to hell. He's a little kid. He knew he was going to be a preacher. My buddy Tim, same thing, he knew. Jason, he knew from a young man. And then there's me. Go through some things. Being asked to do some things at the church, but not feeling very well equipped, but just trying to do what I'm asked. Everybody else in church was allowed to go to Bible school. Any young man in our church that asked to go to Bible school, Brother Davis said, yep, go ahead. Brother Davis, I feel like I need to go to Bible school. Well, Bill, I feel like I have a vision for 1,000 souls at this church, and I feel like you're a part of that. Well, weren't the other guys a part of it? I wasn't sure if he really liked me so much or he was just trying to spare the Bible schools from having to deal with me. I wasn't really sure why everybody else got to go, but he wouldn't let me go. He might have thought, you're not really the right stuff. I don't know. I just know that it was a no-go for me. I'm 26 at the time and gone through a lot of things, and so He approached me and said, "Hey, Bill, maybe you should go to Bible school." At that point, I'd already had my own business. I'd already worked for a brokerage firm. I was now working at Ameritech. Shop in Bible schools. Everybody say wrestle. Called my Uncle Gene. Said, "Uncle Gene, he's a pastor." I said, "Uncle Gene, I feel like God's got something for me, but I don't know what it is. And I don't have any indication, but I just feel like he's got something more than where I am." He said, "Well, you need to go on a fast." I said, "Well, I do fast." He said, "I'm talking about a 10-day fast." I never called him again. I have to tell you this, after coming off that fast, like several months later, I came off that fast and we had discussed the fast and what transpired and what took place. he said, "When's the last time you fasted?" I said, "Well, the last time, like 6 months ago when you sent me on that 10-day deal." I said, he said, that's the last time you fasted? I said, "Well, that was 10 days. He said, "Well, it doesn't like keep you forever. You know, you kind of need to keep doing it." See, if you're not careful, you're going to look at this story of Jacob, and you're going to see him and the Lord in this WWF meeting. You're going to see dust. You're going to see ropes flying. You're going to see sandals kicking off. You're going to see this. You're going to see him coming off the ropes and giving a pile driver. You're going to see all this stuff. But that doesn't make sense to you because that's not where you live. So I'm going to tell you what wrestling looks like for me. Let me tell you what it looked like for me. It looked like when I was going through this. Typically be about right here or right here on Sullivan Avenue where the church was, crying out to God, "God, what? Just tell me and I'll do it. God, I just want to know. I just want your blessing, God. I just want to be in your will. I'll be blessed if you just tell me what you want me to do so I can fulfill that. I don't want to leave this planet. Just if you want me to keep my job and do that and just be a soul winner, I'll be happy to do it. If you want me to be youth pastor, you want me to be on the trustee, if you want me to do nothing but just win souls and pray, I'll do that. I just need to know what you want me to do. It doesn't matter. I wasn't campaigning for anything. I just wanted to know. Since I felt this drawing, I knew why I wasn't where he wanted me. I knew they were someplace else. So 10-day fast and other fasts. Ever heard the expression young and dumb? There's a reason. Because old guys like me were young and dumb. I say that to say don't ever come off of a 10-day fast with pizza. That's another topic for another time. Friends at the church, people I was the closest to, some other young adults. "Hey, Bill, we're going to be at Taco Bell. We're on 3C. Meet us there when you're done." "Oh, God. Just want to be in your will. Right. I get done praying. Didn't recognize any car in the lot. Go through the drive-thru. Get my burrito supreme, no onion, and a supreme taco, and head home. Eat by myself in my apartment. That's the 7 minutes right here that'll never get you anywhere. That's 7 minutes right there where my little granddaughter's just looking at me like, well, pick me up, pick me up. And I'm just saying, do you want me to hold you? Do you want to be with me? And how bad do you want it? And there's a reason why he wants us to struggle. I'm going to tell you in just a minute. I bet you 5 or 6 times, golly, I was worshiping God and just begging God to tell me they would leave. Were they betraying me? No, I just was hungry after God's will. Not one time do I ever remember eating with my friends at Taco Bell. 5 or 6 times, but here's the time that hurt the worst. Your 16-year-old turned 16, and on their 16th birthday, you drive up and hand them the keys to a brand new car. How are they going to take care of that car? Yeah. So you get the point. I believe a lot of times God, first of all, wants to know that we love him and wants to know that we need him and I'm dependent on you. We're a nation that celebrates our independence, and I do, and I get that. But sometimes we need to celebrate our dependence on him. How much I need him, and no matter how smart or how intelligent or how strikingly good looking, by the way, but however those things are. It's a joke. none of that matters to my friends, my family, or my neighbors. What they need from me is, can I connect them with God? Can I be blessed? Can I be blessed in such a way that I can bring the presence of God into a scenario? We don't wrestle to earn the blessing. We wrestle to show God how badly we want Him. We wrestle to struggle enough to take care of the blessing after we receive it. Anything that is given to us too freely, we tend to squander and waste it. So God puts us in a position not to work for, but to struggle for, so that when the blessing comes, you know how many kids I saw in Bible school? Squander it. Don't even go to chapel. You go to Bible school and don't go to chapel? You go to Bible college and go out and party? You stay out late and get drunk? You go to Bible school? Go to OU. Biggest party school in the nation. Just go party. Don't squander something so valuable like going and getting in the presence of God and learning the Bible and getting a degree in theology and squander it. You know why I didn't squander it? I quit a very nice job and left a youth pastor position, trustee of the church position, almost every position at the church I'd already done. What other people are going to Bible school to do when they get home, I was already doing. I sacrificed. I wrestled to quit all of that to go get something from God. I didn't want to waste it. That's why God puts us in a position sometimes to wrestle with His presence. So when He does pour out the blessing, this altar right now for us to come into the presence of the Lord. I want us to come and be ready to linger. I want us to come and just, and we've done this, and I'm so proud of this church. You guys, this last month has just been phenomenal, but I also don't want to go back to where we were. I also don't want to go back. So I want us to learn how to reach our arms up and how to worship the Lord and how to praise Him.